He didn't say, hey, I might be a way, or let me kind of tell you about the way, or let me lead you to the way, or maybe, you know, I'll be part of the way, and you can get some of the way over here. No, he said, I am the way. And the reason why we're a Christian church is because we believe Christ is the only way. Who here has ever called someone the wrong name? Raise your hand. Look around, everybody. Look around. It just happens. Some of you aren't raising your hand. Lies. You sit on a throne of lies. I am terrible at remembering names, especially as our church grows. I can't, and I'm terrible at putting people's face outside of context. I just don't have that spiritual gift. I'm going to tell you how bad I am at this. Last week was my sister's wedding, and we were going up, and some of my family I have not seen in years. Some of them, now, I remember all my siblings' names. And I remember my dad is called Dad. So I got that down. But my nieces and nephew, now remember, there's 7 siblings in my family, so there's a lot of, you know, kids, misfits running around the world causing havoc. And so I have to ask my wife on the way, remind me the names in order. And so I have to ask her multiple times. I'm the worst uncle ever. I love them to death, but I haven't seen them in like over 5 years. Like not talked on the phone, like, because, you know, distance makes our lives a little separate. And so I'm in my mind, I'm like, okay, Sienna has a van, Carson has a park, and Chandler goes Bing. Sienna has a van, Carson has a park, and Chandler goes Bing. Sienna has a van, Carson has a park, and Chandler goes Bing. And I remembered their names. Don't you love it when somebody remembers your name? Don't you love it when somebody remembers your name? Okay, don't hate me if I don't. I apologize right now ahead of time. Today we're in our series, The After Party, and we've been discussing this for several weeks now. What happened after the resurrection? Because the resurrection of Jesus wasn't the end, it was just the beginning. Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins, he was buried, he rose from the grave so that we might have our sins forgiven and have a new life in him. Your sins cannot be forgiven unless Jesus died on the cross for them. He died shedding his blood so that through our faith in him, we would be made right with God. Isn't that good news? And that's an important lesson for us because we recognize we can't save ourselves, we need him. So we've been talking about what did God have in mind after Jesus rose from the dead? And he launched this thing called the church. Everyone say church. The church, the people of God that would come together through a united faith in him, that their common denominator would be their faith in Jesus Christ. He started this thing called the church. And the Holy Spirit came and gave them power. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. About what? About Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that there's salvation in him. That's what they're witnesses of. And so the apostles started preaching Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came down and gave them power, and they started, you know, doing amazing things, and miraculous signs and wonders followed them. And today we're going to continue that story. And as we look at the story of Acts chapter 3 and 4, we're going to be very ambitious today. We're going to go through 2 chapters. Some of you, this is the most Bible you've ever gone through. We're gonna get through it today. And chapters 3 and 4, and here's what we're going to learn today as we go through this after party aspect of what happened after the resurrection, and that's this. Jesus is the name above your name. Jesus is the name above your name. Now, I could have put here easily, Jesus is the name above every name, which the Bible says, but I want to be more personal. I want you to know that he's the name above your name. Because sometimes when we think he's the name above every other name, we think, oh, that's some great person. He's above their name over there. But maybe we kind of forget that he's also the name above our name. Because sometimes we're like, okay, God, you can have this part of my life, but don't touch this part of my life. And we have to remember that he's the name above our own name. And so as we learn that today, as we go through that in this aspect of the after party, we're looking at chapters 3 and 4, and let me just kind of set the scene. The Holy Spirit fell, gave them power, revival came, 3,000 people got saved on the first day and were baptized. Amazing, massive, massive revivals happening. They started preaching Jesus, they started doing amazing things, and one day, Peter and John are walking into the temple getting ready to go to prayer meeting. And as they're going there, there's this beggar sitting by the door, and he asks them for money. And Peter says to him, says, hey, why don't you look at me? He says, I want you to look right here in my eyes. And this is what happened next. Verse 6 in chapter 3. It says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, everyone say, in the name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Isn't that amazing? Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. That's a miracle. You know why? Because I can't even jump. Walking and jumping and praising God. Now, you would think everybody would be pumped and excited about this, but this caused quite a stir. For 2 days, this causes a problem with the leading religious leaders of the time. They were mad. And so as we kind of pull out some things God would want to teach us in this passage, we're going to ask this question this morning, and that's this. Why does Jesus have the name above your name? Because I can tell you that he has the name above your name, but why? Who cares? Why should I even pay attention to that? There are a lot of things I can tell you of why Jesus' name is better than yours, better than mine. But just a few things this morning I think God would put on our heart and teach us today, and that's this. Number one, write this down. I hope you're taking notes. Don't come to just listen, come to learn. Number one, Jesus is the name above your name because Jesus is the name of your healing. Jesus is the name of your healing. How do you respond when you're sick? Some of you cry. And you complain, and you complain, and you complain till the rest of the world is sick too. Sick of you. How do you respond when you're sick? I recognize, you know, especially now as I'm getting older, that our bodies deteriorate. We get injured. We get sick. Sometimes some people are more prone to get sick. But what happens when you're sick? Do you often say, thank God, because I was healed by Advil. Tylenol extra strength is my helper in time of need. You know, oftentimes we do turn to things of this world. And now I am so thankful for medication. I'm thankful for those things that people have created to help us when we're sick and to bring healing. And I think those are instruments that God has given us the ability to discover. I'm not discounting those things. But sometimes that's our first go-to. Instead of the God who heals us. Instead of praying. Instead of, you know, when somebody's in your home sick, instead of laying hands on them in prayer, say, let me pray for you because I know someone who's better than ibuprofen. And I've had 2 back surgeries. I take a lot of ibuprofen. So I'm not saying don't take it if you need it, but I'm just saying that there's a God who's higher, who's above, right? He's the name of our healing. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 103, it says, praise the Lord. Don't you love worship today? Praising God, his name is above every name. My soul, he says, my inmost being, all the way to my heart, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are his benefits? He's going to tell you. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. That's a great benefit, isn't it? Peter walks into the church, getting ready to go to prayer, and he reaches out in the name of Jesus and he heals this man. It was miraculous. Peter wasn't the healer, God was the healer. But God used him as a conduit in prayer to say, listen, I believe in faith that you're going to have healing in your life. And this man experienced that supernatural healing in front of everyone. In front of everyone. The Bible has a lot to say about how God heals us. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but look at Isaiah chapter 53. It says this, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. That's Jesus is talking about. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. Thank God for that. and by his wounds we are healed. Now, I want to talk about this verse because a lot of the theological big heads butt heads about this one, and they say, oh, this only talks about spiritual healing. And I would say, yeah, it does talk about spiritual healing because the greatest healing that God ever does in your life is he heals us from the curse of sin. That is the greatest healing anyone ever needs. If God never heals your body, he's already healed everything you need to have healed, which is your sin is forgiven in Jesus Christ. And so he heals all of our disease. And sin is a disease. And it needs to be healed. And only the blood of Jesus is the right antidote. But to say that that's the only way that God heals, I think would be a misconception and a misunderstanding of Scripture. Because I do believe that God can heal us physically. Because the God who created us has the ability to heal us too. Doesn't he? He has the ability to heal us. So we really have two types of healing when we come to Jesus. We have the spiritual healing that we so desperately need, and God can provide for us the physical healing that some of us desperately need. Now, some of you maybe have been pleading for God to heal you of something for a long time. You've been asking, and maybe you have relatives who have been sick. You're like, God, heal. And God has various ways. Sometimes he heals miraculously. Sometimes he heals us through the miracle of surgery. Because God gives the ability to a person to be able to do that. Do you ever think how amazing it is that they can operate on your body and actually you can come out whole at the end of it? That's craziness. Now, I do believe that God can actually help heal in those ways, and I do believe that God gives us miraculous healing today as well. Don't discount that. But here's something that we should also remember. When you read the New Testament and every time that Jesus healed someone, they miraculously recovered instantly. It was amazing. But every single one of those people, their body broke down and they died. They did. Every single person that Jesus healed died. Because, and I want you to grasp what I'm saying, our ultimate healing is in heaven. Our ultimate physical healing comes after death. It's not meant to be permanent. Do we seek healing now? Yes. In fact, the brother of Jesus, James, said this about being sick. He says, anyone among you sick, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. If you're sick, you should put this into practice. And you should come to the elders and say, listen, I'm sick. I've got this issue. And they'll anoint you with oil, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit on your life. And they'll pray for the healing that God may or may not give. It's up to him, not up to me. And so we say, okay, God, I believe that you're the name of my healing, and I'm going to trust in the name of my healing, and I believe that you can heal me if it's according to your good purpose and your will. It's recognizing that he has the power to do that. Amen? He has the power to do that. Now, this healing of this 40-year-old caused a great stir. The Bible says he was 40 years old, so he was really, really, really old. Like, really old. Death's door, almost there. And this, they're like, what? They couldn't say anything because they're like, what the heck's going on? This guy's been healed, and he's walking around the temple, jumping and leaping and praising God. It's amazing. And so this has caused quite a stir, and they're having meetings about it, and they're upset about it, and they're staring at the apostles, and the apostles said, why are you looking at us like we did something out of our own power? Like it was our own faith, it was our own like religious goodness, if you will, that caused this to happen. It was in the name of Jesus that it happened. Yes. It was in the name of Jesus that it happened. And watch what happened next in verses 22. It says, Peter said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet, that's Jesus, like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Are you listening to God? You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by, watch this, how does God bless you? By turning each of you from your wicked ways. How is Jesus the name above your name? Because Jesus is the name you obey. Jesus is the name that you obey. Can we just talk briefly? I have a lot of notes today, but can we just talk briefly about people who talk to their dogs like they're humans? Can we just have a moment to talk about them? Right? Like it's a, like you're talking to a person, like your dog understands English. Fluffy, are you making good choices today? Was that a good choice for you to doo-doo on the carpet over there? I don't think you're making, you need to think about what you're doing. Okay, you need to like process before you make a decision to poo-poo on the carpet. The quiet ones right now are the ones that do that. The ones that aren't, you're the ones that talk to your dog like it's a human. Yeah, it's you, I see you. Repent and dust and ashes. After service, we'll have a prayer time for you. They can't understand. You're supposed to train the dog, and you give the dog a command. It can understand the tone of your voice, and you give the dog a command, it's supposed to obey. Now, let me just ask you, who do you obey? Who do you obey? Who are you obeying? What a powerful question. And it's one we should ask every single day of our life. God, am I walking in obedience to you? You see, Jesus isn't just for your healing. He's also the name you follow. I follow him in obedience to his commands. You see, the healing of this man wasn't just miraculous for him to be healed, although it was. That wasn't the only purpose. It was a call for him to follow Jesus and obey. It was a call for him to follow Jesus and obey and say, okay, I want to just not receive your healing. I'm now going to walk in obedience to you. And that's a big difference. Some people want Jesus just for the perks, but God calls us not just for the things, the benefits. He calls us for the obedience. And he's the name that we obey. And that's a sign of love. Jesus said in John 14, he says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Do you love God today? Then you should walk in obedience to his commands. Walk in obedience to his word. Walk in obedience to what he says. Why? Because that's a sign of love. If you have children, you recognize that when they obey you, they do it because they love you. And as we love Jesus, we walk in obedience to his command. And you're a slave to whatever you choose to obey. In fact, Romans 6 says this, don't you realize you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey, which leads to righteous living. Thank God you were once slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey his teaching. Everyone say obey. Obey his teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Jesus is the name you obey. That's why he's the name above our name. Because I'm to walk in obedience to him. The apostles told the religious leaders, you decide if it's better for us to obey you or God. But as for us, we're not going to stop teaching about Jesus because it's better for us to obey him. And that should be the call in all of our life. It should be the desire of all of our hearts. Say, okay, I'm gonna walk in obedience to him. And so as they are walking in obedience, they call this man to obedience, and they're proclaiming that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and the religious leaders are mad about it. They're upset about it. And this whole thing goes on for 2 days. This is like an uproar in the city and causing problems. And the leaders didn't want him to be healed. They were mad about it. They didn't want him to talk about Jesus. They didn't want the guy to be healed. They were jealous of the whole fact. They didn't want any followers. And then watch what happens next. Because then Peter, in chapter 4, he says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but who God raised from the dead, that this man was healed before you. It says, Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Everyone say cornerstone. It's the stone the builders rejected, he has become the cornerstone. Why does Jesus have the name above your name? Well, because Jesus is the name you build on. He's the name of our healing. He's the name of our that we obey, and he's the name that we build on. My dad was here a couple weeks ago, and my entire childhood, my dad was a landscaper, and we built giant retaining walls. I have moved thousands and thousands upon thousands of retaining wall blocks in my lifetime. And the number one thing that you have to do is you always have to get the first stone right. You always have to lay the first stone right. That's the cornerstone. That's the start of the level. That's the start of the plumb line. That's how the rest of the wall is built, right there on the cornerstone. The very first block laid. No different now than it was in ancient history. The very first block laid is important to the rest of the building that you're trying to build up. You guys follow me so far? It's not complicated. One day we walked to a job site, and it was early in the morning. We got there, and we had already built a big portion of the wall, and the owner, this guy had a multi-million dollar home. Well, then, now it's probably, $1 billion, but it was very expensive, and we had built the wall halfway up, and the guy, it always happened, the customer always thought he wanted to move the blocks himself because he wanted to see if he could do it. So one day, we come to the job site, and the guy says, Bob, which is my dad's name, says, Bob, there's something wrong with your blocks. And my dad's like, what do you mean there's something wrong with your blocks? He goes, they don't fit right. And so I'm standing there next to my dad. He goes, they don't fit right. He goes, look. And so he goes over there and he tries to pick it up, but it's just too heavy for him, so he's trying to move it. And my dad says, oh, you put it on upside down. Here's the thing. Oftentimes, we build our life upside down. We do me first, Jesus later. And we're not putting on the right cornerstone. We put on the right cornerstone, right? He's the one that the religious leaders rejected, but to God, he's the cornerstone and the foundation of his church. And that's where we start our building. That's not just the building of this place. That should be the building point of every single person's life. This is the cornerstone in which I start, and his name is Jesus Christ, because that's the one I'm going to build on. You see, when you build your life on Jesus, he will use you to build his house. You're like a building block in the plan and the purpose of God. And God's going to use us, right, to actually build what he wants to build. What did he say he's going to build before he died? I'm going to build my church. And nothing's going to stop me from doing it. And I want you to, it's an invitation, I want you to be part of it. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, as you come to him, who? Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, that's you guys, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion. Who's that? Jesus. A chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. The one who builds on him will never be put to shame. He's the name we build on. Are you building your life on him? Or is it just a name you know about? Build your life on him. Let him be the cornerstone of your life. Peter's making this clear. He's preaching it to the religious leaders. He's telling them what's going on. He's saying why this man was healed, that he was healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And only through the power of Christ was he healed. And he's proclaiming it in front of people. And they said, you got to stop talking about Jesus. You got to stop doing these things. They're like, hey, we're going to obey God over you. And then he goes on, he really rocks the world, because he says this in verse 12. He says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They took note that these men had been building their life on Jesus. That these men had been trusting in the name of Jesus. So why is Jesus the name above your name? Because Jesus is the name of your salvation. Yes. He's the name of your salvation. I'm sure you've often heard, as I have, all roads lead to God. Coexist with everybody, because all roads lead to God. Jesus would vehemently disagree with you. He would say, no. Gong. Whatever obnoxious noise, no. Stop talking. He would say, whatever it is, he would say. He said, no, because I'm the only one who died. I'm the only one who went to the cross. I'm the only one who was buried and rose from the grave and had victory over sin and death. I'm the only one. In fact, he said this in John 14. He says, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways, or I might be the way, or I'm possibly the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one. Can we get that on the screen? I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. How many ways? One way. Jesus is the name of your salvation. That's the only name. That's the only way. He didn't say, hey, I might be a way, or let me kind of tell you about the way, or let me lead you to the way, or maybe, you know, I'll be part of the way, and you can get some of the way over here. No, he said, I am the way. And the reason why we're a Christian church is because we believe Christ is the only way to salvation. He's the name of our salvation. There is no other name. No other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So as you think about that today, as you think about Christ being that name, recognize that there is no other name. In fact, Philippians says this, it says, therefore God exalted him, who? Jesus Christ, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. The apostles performed a miraculous miracle in front of the eyes of everyone. And the people were mad about it and denied it. And some stood in awe and wonder and were like, what's going on? And God was sending revival in the church. And they're proclaiming to them, Jesus is the name. Jesus is the reason. Jesus is the purpose. Jesus is the hope that you've been longing for. And they stood on that foundation stone and began to preach it and teach it. And all of a sudden, miraculous things started happening and people were getting saved. And it says in verse 4, it says, but many who heard the message believed. So the number of men believed grew to about 5,000. 5,000! That's a megachurch. I don't know if you noticed that. It's the first accounting we have of a megachurch. 5,000! That's revival. Why? Because Jesus was the name. Jesus was the purpose. Jesus was the reason. He's the reason for the healing. He's the reason we obey. He's what we build upon because he's the only name of salvation. Now maybe you're here today and you've been building on other things. You've been trying to build on your success. You've built your life on things of this world, the sex, drugs, the rock and roll, whatever it is. You're building your life on these things and you're recognizing it's not as fulfilling as you thought it would be. There's not as much stability there as you thought. You're trying to earn your way. You're trying to say, okay, I'm going to get healed a different way. Listen, if your heart's not healed, it doesn't matter how much your body is healed, you're in trouble. Yeah, that's right. The heart must be healed. And only Jesus can do that.